We're doing it.
We're doing it.
We're good. We're good. We're good to go. I'm a tiny voice in your ear, but at least I'm there.
It's true. You are.
But hopefully it'll be okay in the recording. So we're gonna keep going. We'll listen real carefully to each other.
Exactly.
You know, I will admit something right now. There are times that I edit that I'm like, oh, I seem real rude because I did not respond to what she just said. But it's because I didn't hear you in the moment. Like we do, we're conversational. Like we sometimes talk over each other. And it's funny, I used to be really careful about like editing that to make it all set. And then I was like, that's how we talk. I think exactly. It's fine. It's just conversational. So
totally.
Anyway, if anyone thinks that we ignore each other, it's just that sometimes we literally don't hear each other.
I know, it's true. And I feel like I talk over you sometimes and I'm like, wait, what? Wait, what?
Yeah, there are things that I discover when I'm editing that I'm like, oh, I didn't even hear that point. That's nice. Anyway, you've had quite the week, or at least quite the day. I don't know. Want to tell us about your day or your week, or how do you want to cover your end of things here?
Well, I did. I had my first class. I taught my first class yesterday. Yay!
Tell us all about it.
It was so much fun. I was, of course, like extremely anxious and nervous and excited, and I had planned it to the like minute, everything. So it's an actor's workshop series for 8 to 13-year-olds, and it's like an 8-week series that we're culminating in a showcase, which we're gonna create with the kids. Which is cool because it's like, they're like, what do we do? You know, because everybody wants to do like a play or whatever. And I'm like, okay, no, we're not doing a play. We're going to do, it's going to be kind of like a variety night, but mixed with some, end with a big number, yada, yada. Anyway, I was just nervous. You know, the space was new to me. Everything worked out. Although this is a fun, like 2 hours before I was about to teach, I get an email from the facility woman and she's like, so there's a drum circle that, they start at 5 and you share a wall with them. And I'm like, what? So, cause I'm going, we're doing hour and a half, 4 to 5:30. And right. I was like, okay, well now I have to change my whole plan because I was waiting for the end to be sort of like the scenes that we're working on. So I sort of shifted everything around. It ended up being fine. But I mean, the drumming was loud.
It was loud.
But we got through it. And the kids are so cute.
Is that going to be an every week thing?
I think so. Yeah, I did tell her like the last class, you're going to have to find me another location because that's the performance and we can't have drumming happening while, you know, that happens. So, but the kids are amazing. Everybody like wants to be there, which is really cool. And just, I think that everybody, not that I'm like, oh, I need them to have fun, but I do want them to have this experience where I'm going to teach them things. We're going to talk about, you know, our inner life, our environment, yesterday was all about relationships and connecting with the scene partner. So I did a bunch of like fun connecting improv games and theater. Anyways, it was a blast. It was so much fun. My kids are amazing and I'm feeling hopeful. Yeah.
That's awesome. Is the course like a certain amount of weeks?
Eight weeks.
8 weeks.
I'm not sure why I chose that. I feel like that's what we always did. Yeah.
Right. Something like that.
Gives you time to like kind of create some stuff, learn a bunch of things, and then have something to share.
Are they now because you kept asking me about scenes and then I was like, I'm not very good at picking scenes. Like when I did scene study, I always made the person that I was doing it with choose the scene. Because I can never, I don't know, I can never really think of that. Did you find some scenes or are they choosing their own stuff?
Oh no, they're too little. Not that they're too little, but they don't really. I will be picking scenes and like different songs and stuff like that. And I thought for fun next week, we're just going to do all stuff from Wicked, but I can't find an actual like a script anywhere. But I think what I'm going to do is just listen to it because I have the audio of the Broadway version.
I'm surprised. Oh, it's not nominated for screenplay, is it? No, I guess it's not. Because usually the ones that are nominated, you actually can find them pretty
maybe,
easily.
Maybe, you know what? Like, I did not look for the screenplay. I was only looking for... So I'll do that. That's good. But I want to do scenes. Because I can tell the kids, or, you know, we did a bunch of stuff. But, like, I think they'll have a blast. You know, like, if they get to work on, throughout, like, some scenes, if they want to do that, and some music stuff. And maybe I'll have a couple musicals, but, you know.
I bet you can find the screenplay. I bet the screenplay is out there because they submit those for the Academy Award, for the Oscars, in order to be, you know, try to get nominated.
Yeah. Okay, good. Great. I love it. And then I found a bunch of scripts because I do think for this age group, especially for the younger kids, but doesn't matter. I found all the scripts for like a bunch of the Pixar movies, like Inside Out, Soul, Encanto, all those. And they have great scenes in there because I just want to be able to take those scenes and like talk about, you know, your character and what do they want and their relationship to the other person. So yeah, I'm going to keep it sort of high level. I was trying to find something very like amazing. And I actually did order The Wolves, which is a little bit too old for them. But there was I think it was up for the Pulitzer Prize, but it's about like a high school girl soccer team.
Huh.
It was off Broadway.
I think I know that one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then I also got Dance Nation. So these are like younger kid sort of things, but they're still a little on the like higher, like maybe slightly, not, I wouldn't want to say inappropriate, but really intense themes level. So
sure. What is the age range that you're teaching?
So I have 9-year-olds to 13.
Okay. You know, I don't know the musical 13, but I wonder if that's one you want to look into.
Oh,
there's a musical called
good.
13. It was like Ariana Grande's Broadway debut. That was like the musical
Ooh,
theater thing that
thank
she...
thank you. I will.
She, but yeah, so I don't know it, but I would imagine that there's stuff in there for 13-year-olds, I would think.
That's great. Because they have a bunch of like teen or junior versions of musicals.
Right.
And they have like a teen version of Six. Because I have like six girls who can sing and I'm like, ooh, that'd be fun. But I can't find, like, I can't read the, basically the original version's kind of inappropriate, you know, like.
Sure, yeah.
So I don't want to do that, but I like love those costumes because I want to give the kids costumes and things like that. So that'd be really fun too. But 13, I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Yeah, it's good. I'm feeling happy about that. How about you? How's your week?
My week has been just movies. So we had talked about this, that I was so good at my movie watching leading up to the nominations. Like I have never, like I literally had seen every picture, director, actor, like a screenplay. And then the nominations came out and I like stopped. Like I didn't see, well, because part of it was I had already seen all the ones that I had access to.
Right.
And then I was kind of like waiting, like, well, maybe these documentaries will come to the theater I go to, or like they'll be, and like I just sort of dropped the ball. And like literally a couple days ago I realized that I had like first of all, February's short, and I forgot that February's short. Like February threw me off. I thought that I had more time than I did. I thought that I literally had an extra week, which doesn't actually make any sense mathematically, but in my mind I'm like, oh, I have 2 weeks. And then I was like, no, I have 9 days and 10 films to see, and that's not counting the short films. Now, I sort of have made it my mind that there's one feature-length film that I'm just not going to get to see because it's not playing at any of the theaters that I go to. It's that Robbie Williams one, that Better Man, where he's like, that's like ape plays him.
Yeah.
And it's up for visual effects. And not that I don't want to see it, but like it wasn't really at the top of my list. And by the time I got the nomination, it's just not playing in the theaters that I go to anymore. So I was like, I'm probably not going to see that. And it's fine. I mean, I don't think it's going to win for best visual effects, and who knows, maybe last minute maybe I will get to see it.
Yeah.
Who knows,
I bet.
But
you
like,
will
we'll see if it comes down to like that's the only thing I haven't seen, we'll see. But here's the other thing. So I had my short film day on Monday because I was like, oh gosh, like I didn't know if we were going to record yesterday or today, but I was like, well, just in case, I should do the best short film day on Monday and just have that day open. And you know, I do my whole thing where I have to look and see, because this year it's 4 different programs. So it's animated, it's live action, and then they did that thing that they often do where they split the documentaries into 2 different programs.
Oh.
And it's not, it feels kind of greedy, like they're trying to get you to buy 2 tickets, but it really is just that the documentaries are longer.
Oh.
So like the program that I saw with 3 documentaries was over an hour and a half already.
Oh, wow.
And then the other program is almost an hour and a half. But here's what they did this year, because it's been like this in the past and I've been able to like trick them, because like usually a couple of the documentaries you can watch, you can stream online. But they did that. They did the thing this year where they chose, there were 2 that you can't see online, and they put 1 of them in one program and 1 in another program. And I was like, well, that's dirty. So there were 2 documentaries that I wasn't able to see in the theater. One of them I did watch online because you can watch it through Paramount Plus, and we'll get there because, oh my gosh, it's incredible. The other one you can't. And there's this whole thing where it's like you can sign up for Shorts TV. I haven't given up, but I probably won't see one of the short documentaries, only because I'm not going to spend $18 on a movie ticket for a short. And The other thing that I want to say is if you, and I don't know what the rules are, I don't know how much control one has, but it does feel like if you are nominated for an Academy Award for your short, you should immediately put that on iTunes or something like that. Like there should be some, like I would pay money to see this short. I'm just not going to pay $18. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's just kind of annoying. So once again, there's one feature length. There's probably one short that I won't see, but that's okay. I've done a good job. I've mostly caught up. I had a fun day seeing the shorts. I will say, like, there weren't, I don't know, they were kind of meh this year. I was sort of like, really? These are the best shorts. Well, except for what we'll get to when we get to my, what I'm digging this, ooh, this week, because okay. some of them were very good, but like the, I don't know, the animated ones, first of all, okay, here's the thing. Everything's just sad and I understand it. I get that like we're in a dark time right now,
yeah.
But like, man, oh man, you got to give us a little bit of hope every once in a while, you know, like, yeah, it was just kind of like the animated ones were just weird. Like there was one that was sweet about like little kids watching adults kiss and being grossed out by it, but like secretly they want to kiss, you know. And like that was, it was like, it was kind of cute. And then there was another one about like this boy who eats candies that like make his furniture talk to him, and it was fine. It was just, I don't know, it was just a weird, it was a strange crop this year. Like there wasn't a lot that I was like, yeah, I feel like most years I'm like, see this one, this is worth seeing. And
yeah,
we'll talk about a few things that I like, but it was kind of a meh sort of shorts day this year. But that's fine. I'm very happy that I live in a place where I'm able to see the shorts, so that's good enough for me. But I could talk on a few that I really liked.
Yeah, do your digging.
I will say there was one, because the live actions once again were just like. Like, what was the, oh my gosh, there was one that was, hey, listen, and once again, we're commenting on the times, I get it, but it's like about a husband and wife and their daughter that go to get his green card, and of course ICE is there and they arrest the father and the daughter, and it's just like awful and depressing. And I was like, I understand, these are the times we're living in, we have to tell these stories. And then there was one after that, and I actually didn't write the title down. It was called The Last Ranger. That's what it's called. And it was, so my favorite thing in a short, and I'm not saying they should all have to do this, but I love when a short is both the correct time for the story it's telling, but I can also see it being longer. Like I can also see like, oh, there's even more that we could tell in this. And it was a really beautiful story about a young girl in Africa who trails along with a woman in Africa who is helping to guard the horned rhinos, which have been taken off of the endangered species list because the world is crazy right now.
Oh, but, really?
And I guess so. It's that thing where like they're no longer endangered, so they're not on the, and like, well, that's part of why we keep them on that list, is to make sure they don't become endangered.
Right.
But okay. And it's that thing, also that thing of, this is a side note of like, you don't need a rhinoceros's horn. It doesn't do anything for you. It doesn't make you stronger. It doesn't, it's just like so, and I will say that with some of those films, and this is mildly spoilery, that I was like, great, another like awful, depressing. And then it's not, like it does give you hope in the end, where I was like, oh, maybe things aren't terrible.
Yeah. So
that was a short that I really liked. But here was the highlight for me, the short documentaries. And now granted, there's one of them that I haven't seen that I don't know if I'll get to see, but they were all so good. And three of them you can watch from your home online. I'll post them so that you can like see what they are and where you find them. But like one of them was called Instrument of a Beating Heart. And it's about these little kids, I believe it's in Japan, who are like auditioning to play in this orchestra for the new first graders that are coming around. And it's so beautiful and sad. And like these little kids that like want to play the cymbal so bad. And when they don't get it right, they're crying.
Oh.
And it's just so sweet. But it's about like when you're a kid and everything's so important. And like you just want to do a good job. And I was really moved by it. And it's the New York Times. Now you can find it through their website. There was another one called Only Girl in the Orchestra that was about the first woman, I believe, her name is Orin O'Brien, who was the first woman to play for the New York Philharmonic. And just her story, and I think that one is Netflix. And like I said, it's like these are all like about 30 minutes long, so they're easy to like take in. It's just a really cool story about a woman like making a living in the arts in New York City who ends up retiring after like 55 years of playing for the Philharmonic. And it was just lovely. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. And then the last one that I watched, because it was in the second program, but you can watch it on Paramount Plus, is called I'm Ready, Warden.
Okay.
Woof. It is rough, but it's so well made. It's about a man in his last days on death row but it's juxtaposed with the story of the son of the man that he killed. And it's sort of their stories being told side by side. It was really, I don't want to say it was hard to watch, because it really wasn't hard to watch. Like, they make it so that, you know, once again, it's short, it's, you can get through it, but it was emotional. There's a moment where they like read a poem that this man who knows that he's going to die, like he writes this story about his body becoming cold. And I don't know what it was in that moment where I really had one of those epiphanies of like, man, this life is short. Like, yeah. What are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Like, with our time here, and it really was like it felt like an awakening for me. And I don't know, I have those from time to time, and I don't always take advantage of them. But it was a really well made short documentary. So, those are my diggins. Like, any of them that you get a chance to see, they're all worth watching. Like I said, I'll post the names and where you can find them. Really beautiful work. There you go.
Oh, I love it. Okay, I'll definitely check that out. You know, I've been so consumed with my classes, so I have nothing I'm digging, except for just being so happy and relieved that it's, I can tell it's the right thing. The truth is I wasn't even scared when I actually got to the class with the kids. I was just really nervous leading up to it. And I have had experience, you know, I directed all those musicals last year with the elementary school age kids. Right. So I had that, like, I know the ages, you know, I know how to deal with them. I get like really filled with like, I want to make this the best thing ever. So I have to let that go a little bit. Yeah. But that was probably my dig in this week.
No, that's great. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm so glad that it happened. I'm so glad that it like went over and it went well.
Totally. Yeah, it's great.
I didn't really present a topic, but what I decided was that I'm going to tell a story.
Okay.
And then we'll see if there's anywhere to go from that. Because I had a really crazy interaction with a table this week.
Ooh, okay. Tell me.
And it was very odd. I really, really, like in the decades that I have waited tables, the number of times that I've had to go to a manager and say, I don't think I can take care of this table, I can probably count on one hand.
Right.
Like, I'm a really good problem solver in those. Like, when I have a difficult table, I'm pretty good at turning it around. I'm pretty good at like figuring out how to approach it, what to say next. I had an incident last week where this and it's hard to tell the full story, but it was basically these two guys, and they immediately sort of felt like they were on different schedules. Like, one was like, oh, we need a little time. And the other was like, no, we're ready to go. Okay. And I was like, those situations are always kind of weird where you're like, I was really busy. I had like half of the restaurant was my section, and we were going, like it was happening.
Yeah.
So it's always that thing of like trying to figure out how much time you can give to the situation and how much you want to be like, well, your friend needs more time. I'll just give you a minute. I'll check back, that kind of thing.
Right.
And like they'd ordered drinks, and once again, like things were taking a little time. We were very busy. The one guy was having a glass of wine. The other was having a mildly complicated cocktail. So it was that thing where there are moments in which I will take the glass of wine first and just say, like, your cocktail will be ready in a bit. I wasn't doing that in this instance. For one thing, it seemed, I don't know, I felt like I kind of wanted to have them on the same schedule, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I'm like, you're trying to like manage it. Yeah.
Right. So at some point their food had arrived and I was still waiting on their drinks. And I think that part of the problem was I didn't hear the one guy. I figured out later that what he had said to me was, I haven't tried my food yet. I'm waiting for my wine. I didn't hear him say that.
Oh.
I heard him say, I'm waiting for my wine. And I was like, yes, absolutely. Oh, it'll be out. I'm just waiting for the cocktail, that kind of thing. So I brought out the second round of drinks, and this guy with the wine he was like, you know, you could have brought my wine before. There wasn't any reason to wait this long. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I was just trying to like bring things out together. We try to serve, you know, cocktails at the same time. Right. And he was like, I've worked in restaurants. You can grab a glass of wine. It doesn't take that long. Yeah, I've worked in restaurants. This shouldn't have been a big deal. I couldn't eat my food. My food is cold because I couldn't eat it because I was waiting for my wine.
What?
And I was like, I'm really sorry. I honestly can get you another meal. Like we can get you out. And it was like, that's not the point. The point is you could have brought it and you didn't. And you could have brought it.
So he just wanted to like punish you.
And I was just kind of like, I apologize. I'm really sorry. There's no reason to apologize. I'm just saying you could have done it. And I just sort of like nodded and backed away. And I went to my manager. I was like, I don't think I can go back to this table.
Yeah.
I think it'd be better if like if you can check in a few and see if they need anything else. And she did. Like, I really love my manager that I'm working with right now. And she was very on it. And it wasn't, I wasn't doing it in any kind of like a rude way. I just thought, like, I don't think that I'm the one that he wants to see at this point. I think it's probably better if someone else kind of like takes over in the situation. Yeah. Not even like aggressively, like he's not coming back. Just like, you know, have a manager be like, can I bring anything else to the table? And in fact, he got another glass of wine. And eventually the guy got another cocktail. They were not on the same schedule. Which, once again, maybe I should have gotten that from the very beginning of the experience of, like, this guy wants to go now, this guy is fine taking a little time. So here's the craziest part of the story. if you think it's been crazy so far,
right?
So there's no way for me to avoid this table. Like, it's in the middle of my, like, I have to walk by them many times. And once again, I'm not pouting, I'm not trying to be like, I'm not talking to you. I was just like, kind of, you know, like,
I got a lot of shit to do,
right? So at some point, the guy who had been rude got my attention. He was like, I just want to say one thing. You didn't do anything wrong. I can see that you're very busy. I can see you have a lot going on. I can tell that you did your best. The fact of the matter is, I'm a raging alcoholic. My parents have disowned me. My wife left me and my kids won't talk to me. So what? I'm taking it out on you. Yeah.
Holy shit.
And I want to be clear that I'm not laughing at anyone's, like, alcoholism.
No, but that's, like,
but I
shocking.
Was just like, what is happening right now? And I said, you know, he said, like, I'm taking it out on you. And I said, well, I'm the one standing in front of you, so I guess that makes sense. And it was just one of those things where he was like, so I'm sorry, I want to apologize. I'm like, that's okay, all right, all is forgiven. We'll just go on from here. And it was just a wild where I'm like, I did not see that twist in the plot coming.
Oh my God, I'm a raging alcoholic. What?
My life is falling apart in these ways. Yeah, it was kind of wild. I was like, okay, well, that's the way that story went. And I guess
how old
topic
was he?
Wise, what? Oh, he was, I mean, it's always hard for me to tell. I assume he was around my age. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't seem young. He didn't seem, I'm always like, he was way older than me because he had kids. And I'm like, right. Oh, I'm older than most people that have kids. So never mind. So I'm assuming he was about my age, if not maybe a little bit older, but yeah, I don't know. And it kind of puts you on the spot, but like, I'm sure you've had incidents with tables where you're like, what is happening right now?
Yeah.
And not that you need to tell a story, but I guess my thing is also like, everyone just be nice to your server. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Just sort of a wild situation.
No, especially when I used to work at, for that chef Patricio. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because it was a hot restaurant at the time and people were coming from the Upper East Side, Upper West, like far, because we were down in Lower East Side. It was crazy. Uh-huh. It was hard. It was a bit of a culture shock for me because I'm coming from like Vancouver, BC,
right.
And where people are fairly nice. Some people are not, but you know, it's like, it's West Coast. It's like that much more like sort of, nobody's going to be aggressive, you know, to you. It's more like passive aggressive anger. But like, I remember just being like, I'm a person too. I'd have to go in the back and be like, I'm a person. I have worth. Because people treat, I just have never experienced that where people treat you basically like you're not a human being.
Yeah. Yeah. They can talk to you however they want to talk to you.
It's nuts. And it was rough. I've had some rough, I can't even think of anything at this moment, but I just remember being really, it took a lot out of me sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough job. So everyone be nice.
Be nice to your servers.
And then my do without is very, very silly, but it is ongoing and I've tried to fix it and I don't know how to fix it. And if anyone knows, the dumbest function on an iPhone is that when you look at it, it gets quiet. I don't understand the reasoning behind
it.
Have you ever experienced
this?
Why does it do that?
I don't know.
That, like, I'll be listening to a podcast. It's gotten to the point where, like, I'm almost, like, I'm scared to, like, if I want to look at the screen, I'll, like, kind of put my head under the screen and try to look at it. Because, like, if you turn your phone up, it gets really quiet. And I guess it's because if your phone's ringing in a room, like, when you turn it, the ring will get quieter. But I've even looked up how to turn it off and I've done the things that it says to do. And I cannot make this function stop working. Mm. And it is infuriating to me.
Interesting. I don't think mine does that, but I will say I when I look at it, the alarm turns lower and I'm like, no. I need you to keep going. I can ignore that quickly and go back to sleep.
Yeah, it's such a weird function that I want to get rid of. So that's all. I don't know. How about you? Anything you'd do with that this week?
Two. One is that, okay. Calvin broke my screen. You know, it's like shattered in the corner of my iPad. And it's going to cost, if I go to the, you know, not Apple, it would cost me $250, he said, to replace the screen, which I feel like that's a lot. And so I was like, I'm just going to go to Apple, $500 to replace the screen.
That's crazy. Yeah, it's so expensive to fix anything like that.
I'm like, because back in the day, listen, I've done it before, but I think it was probably a phone, but it was like $100. And I was like, okay, I do $100, but $500 seems like a lot. But I right now, I just have a piece of tape on it. And then the other thing that is truly devastating me, that I just, it sounds like it should, there's a lot of hard things happening right now in, you know, throughout life and my family and different stuff. But the fact that Joanne's stores are closing, I don't know if I can handle it. Yeah. Like, here's the thing. I was like, don't hurt the crafters out there. Like, part of dealing with my anxiety is sewing and crocheting and mostly sewing, you know. But they're closing all the stores. Like, they weren't going to close all the stores. There was going to be two stores down in LA, maybe three, that I could go to. And I guess I can go down all the way to the garment district down in downtown LA. But I'm really bummed because it's definitely one of those things I could just go to Joanne's and it makes me feel better. And I don't want to support Hobby Lobby because of their anti-gay stances or whatever it is. You know, like, I'm just like, it makes me, and also they don't really have that great of fabric, let's be honest. But I'm just like really sad. I'm really, really sad, actually.
I thought of you. I thought of you when I saw that. I was like, oh, no.
It's awful.
It's weird because there are just so many things happening in the world right now. Like, we could honestly, obviously, have a conversation just about all the things happening with Doge and the government and all the chaos, all the purposeful chaos that is happening right now. But it is sometimes those little things where you're just like, why is this happening? Yeah, I feel you. That sucks.
It makes me really sad.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to find, maybe I'll buy a place and start selling fabric, but, like, you know, you need to have the big store where you can go through everything. Yeah, I don't know how I'm gonna have to deal with that, but I definitely got really sad today.
Yeah, about it. I feel you. That sucks.
Yeah.
I have a couple of random things. I don't know. One thing we didn't talk about, which is fine, but, like, the SAG Awards happen and the Independent Spirits happen. Yeah, the SAGs were fun. There wasn't a ton of surprise. You know, one thing, it's so funny that I brought up the Critics' Choice Awards last week, and then I didn't mention the whole reason that I brought it up, which was, like, the one surprising thing that happened at the Critics' Choice Awards, and it wasn't a shocker, but that Kathy Bates ended up winning Best Actress in a drama series for Matlock. And, like, she was clearly surprised. And I think the only surprise was that, like, the woman from Shogun had, like, kind of won every other award. And she's so amazing in Shogun. And she ended up winning the SAG Award for it as well. So I guess the reason I brought that up is because I sort of want to talk about the surprises. So SAG Awards didn't have a lot of surprises other than, I mean, I think we've sort of solidified that Zoe Saldana is going to win supporting actress, and we've pretty much solidified that Kieran Culkin's going to win supporting actor. Demi ended up losing the BAFTA and the Independent Spirit to Mikey Madison, who's nominated for Anora, but then she won the SAG. So there's a little mystery there. I do think it's probably still going to be her at the Oscars. But, you know, Timothée Chalamet ended up winning at the SAGs for A Complete Unknown for the Bob Dylan biopic, which he's great in. He's fantastic and he's well-loved in the actor community. So there's a little bit of mystery there. The thing that I want to say is that Conclave ended up winning the SAG for Ensemble. And Anora had won, I think, the Writers Guild, the Directors Guild, and the Producers Guild. But listen, I've said from the very beginning, I'm going to say it, I wish I would have said it months ago. I think Conclave is going to win Best Picture. I think that it's...
Ooh, okay.
I think it, first of all, it's a really well-made film. It also is just like an Oscar movie. Like, if you watch it, like, it feels like an Academy Award winning film. So that's my prediction for Best Picture. I wish I would have made it months ago. Like, literally the day I saw it, I was like, I think this is going to win Best Picture.
Wow.
It just has that feeling to it. So I'm putting that out there right now. We'll know in less than a week, which is wild that the Oscars are in like a few days.
Oh my God. Yikes.
Anyway, I have one other like little quote from a film, but do you have anything random for us?
I don't. I love your randoms and quotes, so give it to me.
That's fine. So I watched another of the documentaries was about a woman in Japan, a lot of things in Japan this year, but a woman in Japan who had accused a man with great connections, I'll say, like a friend of like the prime minister, of sexual assault. And it sort of tells her story as a journalist also trying to get this man to like pay for what he had done. And she had a line in it, and it's not like a mind-blowing quote, but it was something that I thought was really interesting. And that is simply that journalism is about monitoring power.
Mm.
And I just feel like, especially in today's climate, it's so important to remember that like journalists have a job to do, and they are so under attack right now. They're so under fire. And listen, some of them suck. And by that, right, I mean the ones that aren't journalists. And I don't want to play the game of like, that's not news, this is news, but you know who you are. And I think everyone knows who I'm talking about. But those that are fighting the good fight and those that are trying, I even think sometimes that they need to be reminded that their job is about monitoring power.
Right.
So that's all. Wanted to put that out into the universe.
Love that. That's really good.
So you are going out of town at some point, but when is that happening?
In like a week.
So it's not next week.
Yeah. So like next week we can record.
Okay. So next week we will have our Oscar wrap up, and then we might be off for a week or two after that.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
All right. Sweet. So join us next week when we give all of our opinions about the Academy Awards ceremony and see if I've actually seen everything or how many I've missed. And then, I'm looking forward to it. We'll be talking next week.
Sounds good. I love you, Mike Jensen.
I love you so much. All right. Bye.
Bye, buddy.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail.com. We'll be back next week.
Every once in a while, you gotta readjust. Okay.